I don't need the stool. Thank you, I'm good. Not that old yet, Robert. Good morning again. Today, we're going to be looking at Galatians 3, 1 through 6, and I'm going to be reading out of the Message version. I didn't put the words on the screen. I invite you to just listen to them. But before we get to the scripture, I want to share this with you. One of the hardest things for me about becoming a preacher was learning how to accept a gift. People, for some reason, and I'm not, this is not a complaint, but people for some reason like to give gifts to their pastor. It may be because they know we don't make any money. It may be, it just may be a sign of gratitude. However, it was very hard for me to learn how to accept a gift. As soon as I could, I moved out of my house, my parents' house. Said I'm going to go be my own person, make my own way. Went to school, dropped out, got a job. Said I'm going to earn my own living. I'm going to be my own person, and I want to do this on my own. I think that's kind of what happens with the Church of Galatia. And that's where we're going to read in Galatians 3, 1 through 6. We're going to read a letter from Paul to the Church of Galatia. It says, "You crazy Galatians, did someone put a spell on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue in this craziness? For only crazy people would think that they could complete their own with their own efforts what God was begun by, or what was begun. For only crazy people would think that they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep this up. Answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and that act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God. These words are true and can be trusted." So this book was written between 50 and 60 AD. Jesus was crucified around 30 AD. So we know that this book was written just 20 to 30 years after Jesus was crucified on the cross. So these people were more than likely alive and saw Jesus on the cross, right? And we know that Paul and Barnabas and Titus and even Peter spoke to the church in Galatia, kind of got it started. They spoke about Jesus and the church got started. But it didn't take but 20 years until Paul had to write this letter to the church saying, "What is going on?" Because the church was messing things up. I think the church of today is messing things up. Because just like the church in Galatia, I think that we have forgotten and gotten distracted from what the true message is. And the true message is Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us, right? We know that. You know that. That's why you're here this morning. Jesus died on the cross for you, right? But what happens when that's not the center of our every action, our every thought, our every being, is we start to veer off path and do crazy things, just like the Church of Galatia. The Church of Galatia, Paul says, was trying to prove their moral fitness. They were living right. They were doing good things. They were focused on saying the right thing and acting the right way and being good people. Does that sound familiar? I mean, is that not how we live our lives today? That's our job, right? That's what we're called to be as Christians, right? Good people that say and act and do things the right way. Isn't that the whole message of the Bible? I mean, that's what we like to think. That's what we like to do, right? We like to take this book right here and go through it and find passages that say something like, you know, First Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians 6. Unjust people who don't care about God will not be joining in his kingdom. Those who use and abuse each other, use and abuse sex, use and abuse the earth and everything in it, don't qualify as citizens in God's kingdom. A number of you know from experience what I'm talking about. Not so long ago, you were on that list. So we like to find passages like that and say, okay, well, obviously we can't use and abuse each other. We can't use and abuse sex. We have to do things the right way, say things the right way. We have to act the right way. There's other passages all over the Bible that tell us, don't be greedy, don't be mean, don't be look down on each other, whatever it is. We like to find those things and say, okay, here's what. Here's what the Christian life is all about. We're gonna be better people. And that's what the church kind of supports, because it's easy, right? We like to have a roadmap of what it means to follow Jesus and live like Jesus. Don't we all want a roadmap? Doesn't that make life easier? Shouldn't being a Christian make life easier? Are we promised that? Now, what are we promised? What is Paul talking to the Galatians about? He says, God begun in you a work. He poured his presence into you, his Holy Spirit. And how did he do that? Was it by your goodness that allowed his Spirit to enter you? No. Do you know what allowed God's Spirit to enter you? It was your brokenness, your unworthiness, it was your sinfulness, it was the fact that you needed him. Wait a second, how does that fit with the idea that we have to be better people? Has anybody ever read the miracles of Jesus? The healing of the blind, the deaf, the mute, the crippled hands, the paralytics, the dead, raising the dead from life. Don't you want to see those miracles? I do. And I want to be worthy of seeing those miracles. I want to live so good that those miracles start happening around me, right? But if I read the scripture to the message, if I read the scripture, which was a message to the church of Galatia, then I have to understand what the message says. And it says, you've forgotten all about the power of God. You've gotten so distracted by trying to live morally correctly and live better and do better and be better that you have forgotten the power of God and the works that he started in you. And you're trying to finish those works on your own. I think that's what we do as a church. We come into church, and especially when we're first saved, in that first encounter with Jesus where he picks us up out of the darkest holes and deepest holes in our lives, and he restores us, we feel obligated to be better. But I don't think that's right. Just like as a pastor, it's hard for me to accept gifts. I want to earn them. I want to work for them. What we're doing is what I do when I do that is I undercut the power of that gift. I don't know where that gift is coming from all the time. It may be an act of kindness that somebody needs to experience God. And I just undercut that because I want to earn it or be worthy of it. And I think we as a church and we as Christians undercut the power of God by thinking that we can be worthy or earn or work or do or be better so good that we can experience God more, when all God asks us to do is to empty ourselves and allow his power do the work. To allow his miracles to work and flow through us. Think about that. Think about the miracle you experienced when you were saved. And think about the miracle that we're missing out on when we think we can earn that salvation, that redemption. I think we undercut God. I think we stop God's power from flowing into us and through us when we don't trust God. When we don't live focused clearly on the crucifixion of Jesus. Because if you want to see a miracle as powerful as opening eyes or raising the dead, then all you need to do is look in the mirror, because the crucifixion of Jesus rescued us from death. It gave us life. It's the only reason we have life. It's the only reason that we exist. It's because Jesus said, I give my life for you. And that was the miracle. That was the miracle that destroyed death. And he said it not because we earned it, not because we were good enough to be worthy. He said it because he loved you. He loves you. He will always love you. That's the miracle of God. And then you know what happened when Jesus laid down his life for each and every one of us? God opened up the floodgates and filled us with his Spirit. His Holy Spirit flooded into each and every part of our lives. And the key to experiencing that and living in that and sharing that with the world around us is to not lose focus on the cross. It's not to think that we can earn this Holy Spirit, that if we're good enough, the Holy Spirit will work through us, or if we just say the right things and act the right way, the Holy Spirit will expose itself through us. It's not going to work that way, because all we're doing is trying to tell the world, hey, just be like me and you're good. But that's not how God works. God invites us to allow the Holy Spirit to shine through us to tell the world around us, hey, you don't have to be like anybody. Just be you, and the Holy Spirit will fill you. And that's when we will begin to see miracles that we have never seen before. That's when we will see lives being restored. That's when we will see racism go away. That's when we'll see homosexuality and all the differences that we choose to look at and define and say, this is bad, this is good, this is how you're supposed to be, this is how you're not supposed to be. All of that will disappear. And the only thing that will exist and be left is that all you have to do is be loved by God and trust in it. just like Abraham did. Trust in God. Trust in God at all times, in all situations, even if God says, give up your only son. Go do it and trust that God's miracles will blow you out of the water, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. Abraham trusted in God, and God revealed himself to Abraham. God revealed himself to us, and we choose to trust in us. We think we can come up with the right answers. We think we can figure out the correct path. And all we're doing is closing our eyes to the power of God, who says, let me show you what I can do. Get out of your own way and let me be me. Just be the person I created you to be. Quit worrying about trying to earn my love. I've already given it. When are you going to stop this craziness in the world? When are you going to let me be me and trust that I will continue to pour myself into you and continue to pour out my spirit in the world around you? And all you have to do is focus on it and look in it and trust it. That's who we're supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to live. That's how we're going to see the miracles begin. That's how we're going to change Foley, Alabama into the kingdom of God here and now. Not by trying to fix everybody around us, but by trusting that God will work through us, because he already has. He already has. Because instead of looking at somebody that looks differently than me or acts differently than me or thinks differently than me, I'm not going to try to fix them. I'm just going to try to love them. Because you know what? God didn't tell me I had to fix myself before he would love me. He just said, let me love you. Trust that I love you. Experience the miracle of redemption. Experience the power of grace, mercy, and love, and live in it, and focus on it, and see nothing else but that. But no, we're going to argue and bicker about, well, I'm too busy to get involved in that, or I don't believe that that's the right thing we should do or shouldn't do, or I don't think those people belong in my church, or I don't think that whatever matches with me. Who are you? What happens if, when we look at each other, all we see, because we're so focused, it's the crucified Jesus saying, you, I pour myself into you. I give myself for you so that God can release his Holy Spirit into you. What happens when we go to our worst enemy, and instead of trying to figure out how to make them see the world the right way, we just try to love them? Because we know we were unworthy of the love we received. And we want them to receive it too. It's hard to receive gifts. Sometimes it's hard to give gifts. It's hard to see past the distractions. It's hard to let go of who we think we are or everything we've worked our whole lives to get to. It's hard to trust God that he knows who I am better than I do. But that's the challenge for the week. How do you live so focused on Jesus that you trust God to know you better than you do? How do you live so focused on Jesus that you're not worried about what you can earn or don't earn or what you deserve or don't deserve? You can just fully accept what Jesus dying on the cross did for you. And then fully accept that that means that God is pouring his spirit into you, and there is not a atom in your body that is not overflowing with the spirit of God, and that God wants to work miraculous, amazing things in you and through you and with you. And the only way to allow that to happen is to get out of your own way. And when you start interacting with somebody else and you think you know the answer, or you think you know what is right and what is wrong, to just stop and say, how do I focus every fiber of my being on Jesus and him being on the cross for me, and how do I let that flow into this situation? At the 8 o'clock service, I cried my eyes out the entire service. I don't know why. I could hardly say a word. All I could do was trust that Jesus was going to speak with the mumblings and the snot bubbles that I had. And that's all you can do sometimes, is trust that God knows what he's doing, knows who you are, and that you don't. Amen. I think we'll stop there. Heavenly Father, we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. We're not worthy of your love, of your mercy, of your grace. And I don't think we've fully experienced the effect of your Holy Spirit in our lives, because we're too busy trying to control it and direct it and tell it where it needs to go and how it needs to show up and where we need to be or not to be and how we can best exemplify you. We're too busy trying to filter everything that comes out of our lives because we think we know better. Lord, the only thing I know for sure is that when I was dying, when I was lonely, when I was at the lowest point in my life and felt like the world was collapsing around me, you are the one that showed up and pulled me out of it. I know that when you called me into ministry and I said, I cannot, I will not, I should not, you're the one that said you knew what you were doing. Help us to trust in you with all that we have and to get out of our own ways and to allow your power and your spirit to work in us and through us in ways we have never seen before. Wherever that takes us, even if it means standing on the corner of the highway, or going to the scariest place we can think of, even if it means risking everything we've ever known, help us to trust you in a way that releases your spirit to work through us, in us, for us, and with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, let's stand and let's close together. I want to hear y'all sing this one out, because I know a lot of you know this one. The Lord bless you and keep you. May make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.